Dan Sheridan, bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. It's great to be with you on this Friday. By the time the show airs, I will be on the road heading to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and pray for this trip this weekend. It's going to be a great time with the saints there. Pray for mutual encouragement, as well as some people may come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and bask in the transcendent grace of God. So pray for those endeavors as I'm out this weekend heralding the evangel of God's grace. Well, today we're talking about the beloved. Yesterday we talked about the term the Son of God, what it meant, and this is all part of our series we've had the last 2 weeks on the nature of the relationship between the Father and the Son. And in Colossians 1, we read this, Colossians 1, verse 13, giving thanks to the Father, who makes you competent for a part of the allotment of the saints in light, who rescues us out of the jurisdiction of darkness and transports us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. I love that phrase, the Son of His love. Now, this term beloved, that we're going to go through these scriptures where we're going to see the term beloved, is used of our Lord in His character as the Son. It is never used of Him as in His character as the Christ, which means the anointed, the one that God anointed to do certain functions, and it's never used of Him as a teacher or anything like that, but it's used in His relationship to the Father as the Son. In John chapter 3, verse 35, we read this, the Father is loving the Son. He's the one in whom all His affection is lavished on. He has a special relationship with Him. In Romans chapter 5, we read something interesting to show you how these titles are important throughout Scripture. The titles of God and Christ are used purposely in the Word of God. For instance, in Genesis chapter 1, it's Elohim from 1:1 to 2:3. But then when you come to verse 4 of chapter 2, it's Yahweh Elohim. These titles mean something. They have meaning behind them. God uses these titles to relate to His creation. And they're relative because God is invisible, and so He uses titles and relationships to relate to us people, and that's why it's important to make these distinctions. Well, in Romans 5, we learn that we are justified by the blood of Christ in Romans chapter 5. We're justified in His blood, Romans 3. Romans 5, 8 says this, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for our sakes. So we learn in Romans 3 and 5, we're justified in the blood of Christ as sinners. But when we come to verse 10, here's an interesting difference. For if, being enemies, we were conciliated to God through the death of His Son. Notice here it's Son. Doesn't say Christ, the blood of Christ, but the death of His Son. Much rather, being conciliated, we shall be saved in His life. There we have, we learn that as we were justified in the blood of Christ as sinners, we are conciliated through the death of God's Son as His enemies. God wants more than just justifying us through the blood of Christ, but He wants to bring us into this, this unique relationship of love. And here we learn that it was the death of His Son that we're, through the death of His Son, we're conciliated to God. That brings us into the family atmosphere. In Galatians 2:20, that famous verse everyone can probably quote, we read about the Son of God who loves me and gives Himself up for me. It's the Son of God who loves me. In Matthew chapter 3, when we have this, the baptism of our Lord, we read something interesting. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, now being baptized, this is while the Lord was being baptized by John the Baptist, Jesus straightway stepped up from the water, and lo, opened up to him were the heavens, and he perceived the Spirit of God descending as if a dove and coming on him. And lo, a voice out of the heaven saying, this is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I delight. Here we see God's delight in His Son. Now, this is before Christ's service. This is before He did all His healing and teaching. And before all that, we read, it doesn't say here, this is the Christ, the Son of David, the one who was the King of Israel. No, it says, this is my Son, the Beloved. God isn't dwelling on the service of Christ, the Son of David, here in Matthew 3, but He's dwelling on His affection for His Son. Now, the Trinity doctrine ruins this. It's a destructive doctrine. It ruins this relationship between the Father and the Son. The Trinity doctrine teaches there are three persons in the Godhead that are co-equal. But a son isn't the same as a father. Let me repeat, the son isn't the same as a father. If there was a Trinity, and there's not, but if there was, a son couldn't be part of it. The terms Trinity and God the Son destroy the truth. I was listening to a preacher not too long ago, and he prayed, "Oh, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost." Nonsense. Nonsense. It only ruins this truth we're talking about. The unity of the Father and the Son is not, as the Creed says, one substance. We talked about the Nicene Creed the other day, where they took the word form and replaced it with substance. This is a bad teaching. The unity of the Father and the Son is not about one substance. But the unity of the Father and the Son has to do with the loving obedience of the Son to His Father's will. In Hebrews 10, verse 7, He said, "Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God." In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, there's a fantastic phrase here. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, we see this. I'm turning there now. In Hebrews 1, we read, "Regarding the Son, who being the effulgence of His glory." Christ is the effulgence of the invisible God. Just as the glory in the temple was a visible token of God's presence, it was the effulgence of God's glory, so Christ is the effulgence of God's glory. We learn that we cannot know God apart from Christ. We cannot see God apart from Christ. Now, I want to close this audio here with a quotation from A.E. Nock, and I like the way he words it here. Listen to this. "God condescends to assume certain characters in relation to His creatures in order to reveal Himself to them. Even as the Father, He cannot be known except through the Son." See John 14. The particular point in Hebrews 1, what we just read, is the introduction of God's Son, not by creation, but by begettal. He is His only begotten Son. As such, He is infinitely better fitted to communicate the heart of God to man. Let us honor Him in clarity of thought and sincerity of heart for His faithful activity and obedient position as the Son of God. I like the way he put that. Well, let me just say this, that these teachings that we've been going through on this subject, obviously they're not exciting. You can't present them in exciting matters. A student of the Word of God has to buckle down and quietly and persistently study these things. And in order to do that, it requires patience. And it's not going to come to you like a ray of light, and God isn't going to open up the heavens and speak to you in an audible voice. He's going to open up your hearts and minds as you study the Word of God. The Spirit of God works through the Holy Scriptures, the written Word of God. And on this subject especially, I beg of you to take the time to research this and go back and listen to the audios I've given you the last 2 weeks and see what we've talked about in previous programs. Now, on Monday, we're going to continue this topic for one more week. On Monday, we're going to talk about the phrase, and the King James says, "the fullness of the Godhead bodily." But we're going to talk about that phrase. What does that mean? In the Concordant Version, it's the complement of the deity, and we're going to be looking into that on Monday. Well, that's all I have time for today. Again, I am in Sioux Falls, South Dakota this weekend here. Pray for our endeavors, that there be mutual encouragement, and that somebody would come to a knowledge of the transcendent grace of God. It's great to be with you. Have a great weekend. And remember this, the closer you draw near to God, as He's revealed in the correctly cut and correctly translated scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.